Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm going to describe today the meanings of four Quranic surahs today. Those surahs are Surah Sad, Surah Az-Zumr, Surah Al-Mumin, and Surah Al-Fussilat. All these four surahs belong to the fifth group of the Quranic surahs, the central theme of which is Tawheed, the unity of God, the oneness of God. The fact that this entire existence has been created by one God Almighty, who is the only creator, the only sustainer, the only one who listens to our prayers, and the only one capable of ensuring that what we pray for to Him is responded to positively by Him. As we know that the people of Mecca on whom these verses were revealed, for whom they were sent down by the Almighty, they were the people who were polytheists, who took pride in claiming that there was not one but many gods. There was one big supreme creator God, but He had many other assistants who would help Him out in various different affairs of His kingdom. The Quran came with a very clear verdict that this understanding of multiplicity of gods is completely unacceptable and a wrong, false, misleading claim, and that there is only one God, and those who believe in a number of gods are not only misled, they are doomed in the next life, and those who are receiving the message from the messenger of God directly, they will be doomed in this life as well. The first of these four surahs is Surah Sad, which mentions Tawheed in a way that the Almighty claims that those who are denying and rejecting the message of the unity of God are the ones who are doing so because of their arrogance, because of the false understanding of their superiority. They do not have any arguments to support their understanding. The only reason why they are drawing away from the understanding is that they believe that because they are superior, therefore, they would want not to accept anything coming from anyone other than their own tribe, their own nation. And of course, the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, even though belonged to their nation, they thought that they were more important in worldly matters than him, and therefore what he presents to them is not what they're going to accept. It is in this context that we have the mention of the story of Adam and Iblis, which is a story mentioned in the Quran on seven different occasions. The idea is to clarify that it was Iblis, the Satan, who because of his arrogance did not allow himself the privilege of bowing down before Adam alayhi salam at the behest of the Almighty. And because of his arrogance, he was misled and he went astray. So that if people are not going to accept the truth coming to them from God because of their arrogance, then they will have to face punishment in the hereafter and in this worldly life too. The Quran, on the other hand, also mentions the attitude of the great prophet Dawud alayhi salam, who was steeped in not arrogance but humility, despite the fact that he was a great prophet and a king of a large kingdom. Yet the kingdom that he possessed did not make him arrogant, but made him submissive to the Almighty. And he would always pray to him in humility. And whenever he would confront a situation wherein he would find himself at fault, he would admit immediately and prostrate before God Almighty. It is in this context that the Quran mentions in Surah Sad the incident of two brothers who were in dispute with each other with regard to the herd of sheep that they owned. One of them owned 99 sheep and the other had only one. And the one who had a larger herd of sheep wanted the only one also to be given to him, handed over to him, and he used force for that purpose. The poorer of the two brothers of course, was reluctant to submit to what his other brother was asking for. And thus a dispute arose, and Dawud alayhi salam was asked to take a decision in the dispute. While he was giving his verdict, Dawud alayhi salam realized that he is being tried by God Almighty, in that the kind of verdict that he is giving and the kind of urging and the good words that he is using to help the erring party realize that what he is doing is wrong. He is saying things which he thought were violated by him sometime in the past. And it was this apparent contradiction between his words and his deeds. He immediately prostrated before God Almighty and asked for forgiveness to show to the Almighty that he realized that what he was preaching, he thought, was not living up to the desired standards. Of course, his realization was an exaggerated realization, because he had created very high, lofty standards for himself. Yet the message that we learn from this incident is that we as humans, when we deliver sermons and lectures and words of guidance for others, we should never forget ourselves, and we should try to abide by and to conform to as much as possible, as is possible, to the words that we are mentioning to others to follow. This surah begins by saying that this book is from God, and it's a book, Swad wal Quran is zikr. It's a book of remembrance. There is no reason why anybody would be inclined to deny it. But balillazina kafaru fi izzatin wa shiqaq, those who are bent upon denying and rejecting the book, they are in actual fact involved in their own ego, and they are involved in the exercise of rejecting the message because they do not want to accept it, because they have already decided that they are not interested in anything coming to them from others. After Surah Sad, we have Surah Az-Zumr, which, like all other surahs of this group, is talking primarily about the unity of God, Tawheed. In this particular surah, the Almighty is telling the people of Mecca that the arguments that they are presenting to prove that shirk, polytheism, is the right message, the right religion, this claim is absolutely baseless and false. The Almighty criticizes the claim of the polytheists that they only worship gods other than God, so that through these lesser gods they could come closer to God Almighty. This claim really has got no basis, because had that been the Almighty's intention, to ask people to approach him indirectly through other gods, he would have clarified it himself. He would have required people to worship some other appointed non-God deities. But this is something which the Almighty didn't do. And therefore, if the people are making a claim that they are worshipping gods other than God, then their claim is absolutely without any support and backing from God Almighty himself. This surah moves on to make a very generous offer from the Almighty to all peoples of the world who are involved in sinning and in doing things which are going against their own conscience. The Almighty says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. O Prophet, tell all those people who have transgressed their souls, who have been sinning all along their life, that they should not despair of Allah's mercy. إِنَّهُ يَغْفِرُ الزُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, He is going to forgive all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, He is the one who is forgiving, who is merciful. So that after giving this extremely delighting news of good news of God's intention to forgive all sinners, the Almighty goes on to mention the requirement, the expectation, the condition, which if properly fulfilled, He is going to forgive such people who would satisfy those conditions. And the conditions are very clear, very simple. That is, if somebody realizes that what he is doing is wrong, he should incline himself towards God, should repent, should ask for forgiveness, should mend his ways, and approach life in a manner which is in line with God Almighty's expectations. As soon as a person is going to start doing things in accordance with the Almighty's expectations, God Almighty is going to forgive all such people. However, it is absolutely clear from this mention that if people are not going to mend their ways, if people are not going to be inclined to reform themselves before their death, then the Almighty has given no guarantee that He is going to forgive such people too. Because God's forgiveness is contingent upon the proper behavior of repentance on the part of the one who has been sinning. And without repentance, there is no forgiveness. The Almighty mentions towards the end of the surah that on the day of judgment, there are going to be people who are going to be drawn forcibly towards the hell. But before entering the hell, such people are going to be confronted by angels who would ask them, أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ رَبِّكُمْ وَيُنْزِرُونَكُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. Is it not that there were messengers who came to you telling you about the possibility of meeting God Almighty on this day? And they would say, قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. Indeed, that is what happened. وَلَكِنْ حَقَّتْ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. But the decision of punishment came true for all those who were disbelievers. So that the Quran is clear that if there are messages of God that have been delivered to people, and there are people who do not allow themselves the opportunity of accepting those messages because of their arrogance, because of their incorrect behavior and approach towards life, then such people are going to face ultimate destruction and punishment on the day of judgment, wherein they're going to be asked as to whether they were provided with proper opportunity to understand and accept the message of God, and they will have no answer to offer except the fact that indeed they received the message, they understood it, but they did not have the ability, the openness, and the inclination to accept truth, to bow down before the truth, the true message of God. After Surah Az-Zumar, we have Surah Al-Mumin, which again is talking about the unity of God as its central theme. But it seems from the contents of this surah that it was revealed at a time when the struggle between the believers and the disbelievers, kuffar of Mecca, had become more intense. And the believers were getting more and more persecuted by the disbelievers. And the Almighty mentions the case of Musa alayhi salam and his followers on the one hand, and Pharaoh, Pharaon, and his companions on the other. And mentions in particular the behavior of a believer, Al-Mumin, who had concealed his faith for some time before he disclosed it openly, and delivered a very effective speech in the court of Pharaoh and before his companions and courtiers. And he mentioned that he believed in what Musa alayhi salam had brought as a message of God. He believed in the fact that there was only one God. He was absolutely clear that the opposition that was erected against Musa alayhi salam had no basis, and he very strongly urged his fellow nationals to accept the message of truth that had come to them. And because he was delivering a speech of mutiny, as if against a tyrant ruler, Pharaoh, He said towards the end of his speech that وَفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, I repose all my confidence in God Almighty. I give all matters into His hands to take care of, and I do not care what Pharaoh's reaction would be. Such is the attitude of people who are strong in their faith and who are not fearful of the consequences that are going to happen after they declare their faith. It is in this surah that the Almighty mentions that ultimately Pharaoh and his companions met with defeat and punishment in this worldly life. And until the day of judgment, these people, Pharaoh and his companions, are being shown the hellfire every morning and every evening, the hellfire which they will enter on the day of judgment. This particular passage of Surah Al-Mumin is an indication of the fact that at least some people will have some glimpse of the punishment that they would ultimately face on the day of judgment, even before the day of judgment. It is an indication of the fact that there is a possibility of punishment after death, but before the day of judgment. In other words, in what we call the grave. The grave is not necessarily the mound of mud under which, beneath which, we bury our dead. It is used for the purpose of symbolizing the life after death, but before the hereafter. So that whatever be the true nature of that life, of course we have no idea whatsoever what exactly is the nature of going to be the nature of it. The truth of the matter is that some kind of punishment, some kind of reward is going to be allowed to at least some people who leave this world and who are either buried or are carried away in some form to the other life, which is known as the life of barzakh, the life between death on the one hand and the rising of humankind again on the day of judgment on the other. The last of the surahs of this series that I'm going to talk of is Surah Fussilat. It is also known as Surah Hamim As-Sajda. This surah too is emphasizing the message of unity of God, Tawheed, along with arguments in the nature, the way this whole existence has been created, in a manner that there has been a sequence that has been followed. There has been a scheme that was designed. It was not done in a haphazard manner. In fact, the existence, the creation, the creation of this existence, it took place in a manner which followed a certain method, a design, and a purpose. The Quran mentions that the kind of debate and the kind of confrontation that has started as a result of the da'wah of Tawheed, the presentation of polytheism by Prophet Muhammad, Allah's mercy be on him, and the Quran, this presentation is going to ultimately lead to the success of those who are presenting the truth, provided those who are presenting the message of truth are the ones who do it effectively, who do it politely, who do not allow themselves to be carried away by emotions, by hatred, and by jealousies and envies of others. So that the Quran says that the believers, while they are dealing with others, should be quite as polite as could be possible for them. The Almighty says, لا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة. What is good and what is bad, they cannot be the same. They cannot be equal. ادفع بالتي هي أحسن. So, you, O believers, when you are confronted with a situation where people are talking in an evil manner to you, repel that evil with what is good and what is polite and noble. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ. Then you will see that as a result, the one with whom you had enmity, كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ, he will turn out to be a very close bosom friend of yours. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. This privilege will not be made available to anyone except those who are indeed very patient, perseverant. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَزٍ عَزِيمٍ. And this privilege is not going to be allowed to anyone except those who are extremely fortunate. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ. And if Satan whispers into your hearts enmity for others, فَاسْتَعِزْ بِاللَّهِ, then you seek refuge in Allah. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Indeed, He is the one who hears and who knows everything. That is, when you are going to engage yourself in promoting the cause of truth, in delivering the message of God, most certainly Satan is going to make every attempt to cause within you to be inclined towards hatred, towards reaction, towards emotional discharge of your understanding, of your ideas. And this outburst can spoil your efforts of delivering the message. Therefore, be as patient as is possible. And if you find that during the course of your preaching of message, Satan is trying to whisper into you ideas and inclinations of hatred, of emotionalism, then you seek refuge in Allah. Indeed, Allah is going to be most closely watching your deeds and helping you out in all matters of difficulty. So that all these four surahs that we have talked about are essentially talking about Tawheed, the unity of God, in one form or another. They are all mentioning the fact there is only one God, and the people of Mecca are indulged in polytheism, which is not acceptable to the Almighty. Each surah is making the contribution in its own different, unique manner. May the Almighty enable us to understand the Quran properly, and may He enable us to follow it to the best of our abilities.